This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. What's the first thing God wants to know about us? Turns out it's connected to the first question He ever asked in the Bible. Welcome. This is episode 6 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle, along with our producer and podcast hobbit, Ryan Viramontes is here. That's self-proclaimed, by the way. I did not come up with that title. You, a few episodes ago, gave yourself that title. So,
yes, I did. I did.
Yeah. I did. So we're together here, and it's raining today. So this is kind of weird. We've had sunny ever since we started doing this. Also on on camera, video format, it's been sunny. So it's kind of different today. A little bit rainy, but we need it. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. The rain. I feel like the older I get, the less I like the rain.
You know? Oh yeah. Yeah,
well, because with the kids, it's like it forces you to stay inside. You know, right. Or then they get wet, and then they're kind of like they don't know how to be when they're wet and stuff like that, you know, where I enjoy the sunshine way more now.
Yeah.
You know, the older I get.
It's nice. So we need it here. We're in Southern California, wherever you're listening. Most people know that.
Right.
That are listening are local, but we need the rain. It's been a while. So it's nice to have it. Although maybe it changes the lighting here. I don't know, because usually it's sunny. So
right.
We'll see when you produce this, you'll see if that changes things. But I'm really excited about our new focus for the podcast. We've been for the last several episodes, and we'll be now for a little bit longer. We're going to be looking at this topic, Jesus wants to know, and we're looking at the questions in the Bible that Jesus asked, and looking at the ones how relevant they are to our own lives as well. Those mm-hmm. questions are timeless, and they are great to reflect on. You know, Jesus wants to ask us those same things today.
Right.
But today was a little bit of a one-off because I didn't speak this last Sunday. So I'm going to go I'm just going to take a little tangent.
Sure.
Same theme, but you'll see what I mean. It's a little different direction. So I was gone Sunday. We were on vacation, but Wes was our speaker. I haven't had a chance to hear it yet. How'd it go?
Great. Yeah. He did awesome. So yeah, he's grown. It's kind of one of those things where you can see the progression, you know, since he doesn't get to speak, you know, all the time in our main services, but, you can see the progression of going, he's getting really, really good.
Awesome.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we're
very comfortable too.
We love Wes. Who doesn't love Wes?
I mean, and that's the other thing too. I mean, talk about having the home team on your, you know, having the home team advantage
or home court
advantage. Like everyone loves Wes. Yeah, like, who does it?
You can do no wrong. So, good Wes. Well, I get a chance. He's probably right now, you know, I can imagine when he's listening to this, he's going to be thinking, oh my gosh, you guys talked about me.
Stop it.
Well, I do know a little bit what you covered because we met ahead of time and kind of talked through a little bit of the stuff. So, I'm excited to hear it. I'm sure it was, a really good time. We had a chance to be on vacation just a short few days away with not all our kids, but like we have 3 kids and 2 of them are married. So that makes 5.
Yeah.
If you count that way. So 3 out of 5 of them, we were together.
That's pretty good.
And it was awesome because my daughter, I showed you a photo earlier. Yeah. My daughter made us vacation t-shirts and we all had to wear them on one day. So it was, but it was, you know, usually you think of like parents making them for their kids. This was the other way around, but we had visors, we had t-shirts, we had sunscreen. We had, it was all, you know, this whole package.
Sure. I've worn floral pattern t-shirts that I've worn once or twice to take my daughter on a Chick-fil-A date, which is her favorite.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the things we wear for our daughters.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever seen a floral pattern.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Except for your daughter, apparently. So, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good to be back. But because of that, we're going to take a little bit of a detour from the topic of the questions that Jesus asked, but it's really in the same vein. I want to look at the first question that God ever asked in the Bible. And I wouldn't get to cover this in the series otherwise, since it doesn't relate to Jesus's question, but it's a great question for us to consider. Have you ever thought about what the first question was that God asked humanity in the Bible? Turns out his first question to men and women is still his first question to all of us. His first question, it comes in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, and he simply asks this. He's speaking to Adam, and he says, "Where are you?" And that is a great question for us to ponder. As we've noted along the way on these podcasts, God or Jesus never asks us questions because they need information. There's nothing that they don't know. They already right. know everything about us. So the question is meant to reveal something in us, information that we need to be aware of, something that we need to wrestle with or understand. And in this case, obviously, God knows where Adam is. He knows exactly where he is, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But he asks that because he wants Adam to answer it mm-hmm. and have a little bit more self-awareness mm-hmm. about what's going on. I think we see in the episode in the scripture that there are four places that we could be, four places that we can find ourselves, four answers to that question. This question comes, by the way, immediately after Adam and Eve have sinned in the garden by eating the fruit from the tree that God had told them not to. It's a great picture. Some people think that this is a negative view of God or a negative view of religion because God is sort of thou shalt not. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the thou shalt not in the Garden of Eden was connected to eat whatever you want, enjoy right. whatever you want. Right. Everything is now available to you. I've created this perfect world for you and enjoy with one restriction.
Right.
And so rather than seeing it as a God who's got these rules and regulations for us, the Bible portrays from the very beginning, God is a God who wants us to enjoy a wonderful life and right. does just want to protect us from that which would be harmful.
Right.
And so it's a very different view than many people have. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as it turns out, it didn't take long before our first parents sinned by eating that tree that they were told not to. And suddenly everything has changed. Mm-hmm. And instead, though, of God coming to them and destroying them or bringing judgment upon them, the first thing he does is he asks a question. And to me, that's significant because mm-hmm. it invites Adam and Eve and all of humanity, really all of us, into kind of reflecting, the self-reflection, this sense of accountability before God, but also a chance to be restored. Now, notice it's not just a physical location that God's interested in. It's not like, where I can't find you, where are you? But rather, it's the relational distance that has mm-hmm. happened between mm-hmm. between God and now Adam. And so we also can live with that question. Where are we with God? Where are we in relationship with him? And allow God to sort of heighten that self-awareness mm-hmm. that he wants us to have. So it's interesting what Adam responded with. Adam's answer is this: I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Mm. Genesis 3:10. Adam doesn't answer locationally either. He doesn't say, "Well, I'm over here by the behind the tree," right, or I'm hiding behind the elephant or something. His answer is emotional mm-hmm. and spiritual. He says, "I was afraid.
Yeah,
I felt naked and I hid." And I think there's at least from this episode we can see at least four places that we also can find ourselves with God mm-hmm. when he asks us that question. There's obviously more than this, but right in the passage itself, we can find four answers. It's interesting. His first answer is fear. Living in a broken world as broken people, we were created to have this relationship with God, to live in such a comfortable, free way. I love the way the Old Testament talks about it. It was like God is just walking in the cool of the day with them, sort of this really enjoyable picture of having this journey with God. This you're walking, you're just going on a walk together. You're enjoying it, this easy relationship. Instead, now suddenly they're fearful. And we can find ourselves afraid too. I wonder how many times God comes to us, and that would be the best answer. I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think the things that make us afraid are that suddenly we feel like God would be mad at us, God would be angry with us, God, we're disappointed in ourselves, and so we project that upon God. We know that we haven't lived up to what he expects, and so it creates this fearful relationship rather than this loving relationship mm-hmm. that he wants us to have.
Right. I've definitely, I think a lot of people have felt that, you know, that you put that on yourself, and then therefore you reflect it, you know, back. But yeah, I think in those moments of my life of feeling fear, it usually stems from a place of not living up to my own expectations, or you let someone else down. And so then now you feel that, you know, just grossness,
you know.
And God doesn't want us to feel like that, you know?
No. But we put ourselves in that position
for sure.
Just like they did. And at that point they have no idea how God is going to respond.
Right.
We fortunately, because we have the whole Bible,
right,
we know God's heart. But at that point, this is the first sin of humanity. But even though we know the answer, we still, like you're saying, how often does that just creep up inside of us?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, I feel like, live as if God is mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking around. They feel like God's mad at them. So they're fearful, apprehensive, anxious.
Yep.
Our broken world itself can kind of create that, too. It sort mm-hmm. of it feeds that.
Yes.
And so we have a brokenness in us, and we have a brokenness all around us. And because of that, one of the answers we could give is, I was afraid.
Right.
I'm fearful.
Right.
Another answer is that we are naked, and or maybe we should say we feel vulnerable, or we feel insecure in who we are. We're uncomfortable with our identity. We're uncomfortable in our own skin. And what's interesting about this, up until that point, it wasn't like Adam and Eve had been clothed, and then suddenly, you know, because they sinned, they lost their clothing, they lost their covering. Instead, God had created them to be comfortable with who they were without clothing. But sin had created this uneasiness in who they were, in their own identity. And so even a result of this, God ended up having to cover them because of this. I wonder how many times God comes to us too. And our answer is, when he says, where are you? Our answer is, we're uneasy with who we are. We're uncomfortable before him, maybe even uncomfortable before others.
Mm-hmm.
We just are not comfortable. God had created them uniquely, just as he's created each one of us. But it's so easy for us to find ourselves, you know, we find ourselves not comfortable with that.
Right.
Kind of wish we were someone else, right, or wish we were different.
Right. Taller.
Yeah, exactly.
More athletic.
Yeah, more athletic. Yeah. You know, all those things. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
In other words, I think I was saying, like, you know, what's going on? And Adam's answer is like, I just no longer feel good about myself.
Right.
And it's really interesting because as the story continues in verse 11, God has a follow-up question for Adam, and he asks him, who told you that you were naked?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what caused you to think that way?
Yeah.
What was it? You didn't think that way before.
Right.
So what happened?
Right.
Our world and even the evil one wants to distort the way we think about ourselves so that we're down on ourselves. We live in a world of comparison, and we never feel like we're measuring up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it reminds me kind of like sometimes, and I know this is, you know, not, you know, this isn't correct, but it does remind me, since I'm in the thick of the children right now, you know, like in the little, and it's like you kind of start to see them, their world open up, and they lose a little bit of their innocence. Mine are still very innocent, but you can start to see it now, where even my son will ask certain questions about things that he sees throughout the world that he's, you know, in. And you just go like, oh, that didn't exist 2 years ago, like, you know, or something right. like that,
yeah.
you know? And it reminds me of that, of when God asks Adam, you know, like, well, who told you that? Like, who opened your eyes to this? You know, like, I, you know, in a way, like, we weren't really meant to be like that. It wasn't how the plan was supposed to go, you yeah. know? Like, we were supposed to kind of be in this innocent, somewhat relationship, you know what I mean?
I love that. I love that, because you're thinking about it from the perspective of a father, which is exactly God's view of us
right.
too, as a father.
Right.
And when he sees us, and we see ourselves sort of through the father's eyes when
totally.
our kids do as well.
Yes.
You know, through our parents' eyes, our parents see us as like, they know they're, you know, our kids are flawed,
right?
But they're beautiful. They're,
yes.
you know, you just yes. see all the beauty of them. And then as they grow up, you can see the influences around them
for sure
that start to distort their view of themselves.
Yes.
And they,
yes.
and it becomes negative.
Yes.
And it's like, you want to say as a parent, who told you that?
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. That's not how I see you at all.
Right. Right. Right.
And, yeah, it's exactly, you can see the heart of a father here.
Totally.
Asking that question. Well, so I think that's another way. Another way we find ourselves before God, he could say, you know, I'm insecure in who I am. I'm feeling vulnerable and no longer comfortable in who God created me to be.
Yeah.
The third thing that Adam says here, answering that question, he says, I was hiding. And again, this is not new information to God. God is God knew he was hiding, but he wanted Adam to acknowledge it. He wanted right. to recognize it. I guess I'm hiding from you, and I'm just hiding in general. This is to me a comical picture of Adam and Eve trying to hide from God, the all-knowing, perfect God, yeah. the creator yeah. of the universe, and we think we can hide. I sort of think about it like little kids who play, you know, peekaboo, you know, and they put their hands over their face or they close their eyes as if now we can't see them.
Right.
You
right.
know? And then they open the hands,
yes.
you know, and they look and it's like, oh, peekaboo, now I can see you. Or we do that with them as if
right.
this means I'm invisible and now I'm seen.
Right. Right.
My grandson, who's kind of in your kids, little
yeah.
kids age, you know, he loves it when we visit, he loves to like hide. And then I'm like, where are you? And it's like, I can see him behind the curtains or whatever, you know, I can see you crouched under that pillow. The pillow's not big enough to hide you, but
right.
you know, I still play the game.
Sure,
I walk around the house. Where could he be? I don't know. Could he be under the chair? No. And the whole time I know exactly where he is.
Right.
That to me is exactly God saying, where are you? And he's like going, you know, I can see your butt sticking out behind that tree, you know, or whatever.
Just the image of that. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. It's like, where are you?
Where are you? Come on. We both know I can see you, you know?
Exactly. We both know. So to me, it was a joke that he's yeah. trying to hide from
yeah.
God, at least.
Yeah.
At least he was honest. At least he was
right.
honest. I was hiding. And I wonder how many times God comes to us and his answer is, you know, we're hiding.
Yeah.
We're hiding.
Yeah.
We're wearing masks. We're covering up what's mm-hmm. really inside. We're living a facade. We're not being, you know, we're not out there. We're just,
right.
we're withdrawn
mm-hmm.
or retreated or hiding.
Right. 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 Yeah. I remember one of my friends used to always say, like, when you would go to church and you like ask somebody like how they're doing. Right. And then most of the time they'd be like, oh, I'm fine. The kids are good, whatever, you know, and you kind of like move on. And he would always kind of always wonder if somebody really was doing as good as they said that they were,
yeah,
you know, and reframing some of his questions and how in his conversations with people in his church and kind of just going like, is there something I can be praying for you? Is there something that you would like to share with me? Like, do we need to set up a coffee meeting or something? You know, in that sense of where Adam is, where he's hiding, he's withdrawn, he's afraid, he's all of the things, but yet God knows, you know what I mean? And sometimes we have to be able to be okay with sharing that with our community, you
yeah.
know, and knowing that we can be like, hey, I feel hidden right now, or I feel afraid right now, you know?
I think that Yeah, I think that would be a good question for us to ask people. Obviously, you know, we come, how's it going?
Right, what's up? Right, yeah.
How are you? And the natural answer is I'm doing fine. I'm good, which I'm not down on that because that's just the cultural custom. I don't want to tell every person I bump into my deepest, darkest. Yeah,
you don't want to be an overshare. That's
yeah,
sure.
I don't want to overshare.
Yeah.
But if you do know someone well, maybe this is a great follow-up question, not just how's it going, how are you, what's up, but what's going on, but like, where are you?
Yeah, where are you?
Where are you?
Yeah.
And spiritually, emotionally, where are you? It's a powerful question.
Yes.
Certainly for our viewers and listeners to be living with that question before God.
Yes.
As God asked us, where are you?
Totally.
It's a great question.
Yes, totally.
Well, there's a fourth insight that we get from this episode because God's question to Adam sort of hits a raw nerve for him. And in verse 12, Adam says this, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." In other words, the fourth place that God can find us is blaming.
Yeah.
You know, we're in relational conflict with other people. We're blaming other people. This is where sin and brokenness leads to. Mm-hmm. It not only destroys our relationship with God, it destroys our relationship with others. It puts a wedge between us and others. I mean, talk about the difference that sin and spiritual separation from God does in a person's life. Just a few verses earlier, Adam was looking at his new wife and saying, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh," which if you want to translate that into, he's basically saying she's amazing.
Right.
She's awesome.
Right.
She's exactly specifically what I needed. What you gave me someone in my life who's just perfect for me, just tailor made.
Right.
Exactly the help I need. By the way, you know, God calls Eve a helper in this passage. And I know that's been true in my life. My wife is like the perfect helper for me. Because I need a lot of help.
Yeah.
I need help the boy, right?
Yes. Same.
I think we would both agree, right?
Oh yeah. 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 Very much so. Very much so. Amanda and I've been together since high school. So she's basically watched me grow up and I still feel like I'm still growing up, you know, like she's definitely the more mature one in the relationship, you know, but, you know, like you said, such a helper, you know what I mean? Like I couldn't imagine my life without it. So
I can imagine someone out there is listening or viewing and thinking, well, does that seem like a derogatory term though, to call someone your helper? In the Bible, it's a very elevated term.
Right.
I mean, and another one who's called a helper in the Bible is God.
Right.
It says God is the helper of Israel.
Yeah.
So helper doesn't mean like a servant. Helper means like a coach or a therapist or, you know, someone who gives guidance and the kind of, you know, complements your life in a way that, and it works both ways.
Yes.
And so it's a wonderful arrangement that God had. And just the day before, Adam and Eve had this beautiful complementarian and rich relationship, you know, where he's going, "This is awesome," and now he's blaming her.
Right.
And that's what sin and a broken relationship with God can do. It creates disharmony in our relationships as well, this kind of conflict and blaming, these negative attitudes towards others.
Right. Well, to be like, you know, the most, you know, intimate relationship, right? You and your wife or husband, right? And then all of a sudden just that little seed of sin can just grow and take what, you know, in one instance and break it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or almost break it in that point, you know, to the point of, you know, break. And so, it's just like, it can get a hold of that. And, you know, God wants us to be in our relationships with our spouses as equals, as helpers, as motivators, as encouragers to each other. And if we let that foundation shake just ever so slightly, it can, you know, really start to crumble. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we see that with the first humans, and we've seen it ever since. Yeah. I see it so much in relationships where there's this tendency to not take responsibility, but rather to blame.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to do. Yeah. So easy for us to, our first go-to is to blame others rather than take our own. It, how much different the story would have been if Adam had said, yeah, I blew it.
Yeah, it was my bad.
It was my bad. Yeah. Instead of it's somebody else's fault.
Right, right.
But that's where we so quickly go.
Yes.
It's not really the focus of this particular podcast, but it's really interesting that in the very next chapter, God asks another question, this time to Adam and Eve's son, Cain. And he asks Cain, where is your brother? And both those questions, where are you and where is your brother? Mm. Those are really two foundational questions for life.
Yeah.
You know, where are you in relationship with God and where are you in relationship with other people? And the two are connected. We mm-hmm. see this in the first sin. It destroyed the relationship with God. It also was devastating for the relationship with each other. And so this is really covers the highest purpose of our lives. If we would live with these questions, where are you with God? Where are you with your brother, your sister? In relationships with other people. It's really the highest purpose of our lives, the most important thing we can focus on, our relationship with God, our relationship with one another. Jesus said the two most important commandments are love God, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And those themes run throughout Scripture, mm-hmm. those two things. So we see that part of where God sometimes finds us is blaming, where our relationships have been destroyed and we're pointing the finger at someone else.
Right.
Well, I wonder, you know, how many of our listeners or viewers today would answer, would live with that question, would be willing to really reflect on that, to take some unhurried time to think about God asking us that question, where are you? Maybe we'd say we're fearful. Maybe we'd say we're insecure, we're hiding, we're blaming. He simply wants us to be honest with ourselves, to see ourselves and see ourselves as he already sees us. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what's going on with us. If we do, the result will be absolutely transformational. It can really change us if we regularly live with that question and let God interrogate us. Where are you? Where are you? So is there any good news in this passage, or is it just like, you know, Adam just, you know, just kind of one after another kind of showing these very relatable responses?
Sure.
I think there is.
Yeah.
And the good news is that God even asked the question. Mm-hmm. The fact that he asked the question reminds us that God is committed to restoring the relationship. He's the initiator here.
Yeah.
We blow it and he comes to us. He takes the step towards us and looks for us and finds us and asks us the question, what's going on?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
He initiates that. And not only that, he's inviting us back into relationship with him. If you read further in the story, he forgives and restores Adam and Eve. And of course, the rest of the Bible tells us that that was the beginning of his plan to restore all humanity through Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
To, again, be the initiator who comes to us and says, where are you? And let's restore the relationship, first of all, with God, and then with those that you care about around you. It's a great question for us to live with. And again, we're not going to cover it in the series on Sunday mornings because we're talking about Jesus's question specifically. But if you think about it, the very first question that God asked in the Bible is potent.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Good, very much so.
Good question for us to live with as well. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks to everyone for joining this conversation. A chance to be a little unhurried in our reflection on this. Thanks, Ryan, for joining me. I've told several people now that you've kind of become a regular contributor here, and I think you know people look forward to it. So it's really great having you here, so we can kind of just have this conversation together.
I follow your lead, you know. I do my best.
We'll flip the script one of these days, you know, and you can just I'll be the guy that gives the commentary on the side, you know.
Yeah, very much.
It's like what do they call it in sports, like
color commentary.
Yeah, that's kind of you, right?
That's me.
That's color commentary.
But they're really tuning in for you, you know what I mean?
Well, is that right though? I don't know. Yeah,
you're the Chick Hearn of this operation, you know.
Yeah, if anybody, extra points if you know who Chick Hearn is. If anybody knows besides the two of us who Chick Hearn is, that would be fantastic.
That would be great.
Yeah, so unhurried podcast@gmail.com. Yeah. If you know the answer to that, I'd love to hear from you. Or anything else, you can text us. Let us know that you're listening. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. I look forward to talking soon.